Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. Aren't you glad the Lord's said you pray this evening? Praise God. There's a wee women's meeting as well upstairs tonight. So the Lord bless them. And the Lord bless you. Listen, God could. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9 and I'm just trying to maybe not take every single chapter, but I'm trying near enough to do that, not to jump the gun too quick, but time to tell tonight. There's so much in the book of Samuel, and let's read from verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 9, and we could read all of the chapter, but I'll read the first 7 verses. But there's so many other verses. I'll read the first 7 and then I'll read verse 17 of 1 Samuel chapter 9. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abel, the son of Zeor, the son of Bakorah, the son of Alphia, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of Benjamites, and they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Suf, Saul said to his servants that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave carrying the asses and take thought for us. And he said unto them, behold, now there is in the city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now this is Samuel that he's referring to. Now let us thither peradventure, he can show us our way that we should go. Then said Saul the servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring to the man? For our bread is spent in our vessel, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God what we have. And then if you read on, they had a half a shekel, I think it was, a wee bit of money, and they took it. Now verse 17. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I speak to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. Let's bow our heads tonight, and if you have a need, just lift your hand up to the Lord this evening. Praise God. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are privileged this evening. We have open access from your footstool into your throne room and into your presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Father, we would come tonight pleading the merits of the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God this evening. And we would ask you that you'd wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Lord, I pray that every spirit in this building will be subject to the Holy Spirit tonight. And I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now in Jesus' precious name. And I thank you that you will. And I pray for every hand that's raised, you'll meet every need in Jesus' precious name. Bless your word and feed us from it and show it to us tonight, Lord. And Father, do pray for Brother Geordie's wife as well, Sister Winifred. You'll touch her and bless her. Touch her leg this evening, give her strength and grace. Strengthen her and comfort her. Encourage her in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for any tonight that couldn't be here, whether they're working or away, pray you'll bless them, be with them, prosper them. Bless the children in the fellowship, save every one of them. Bless every mother, every father, every boy, every girl, in Jesus' precious name. As we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you will direct our paths, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's so much of this tonight, but I want to just look briefly at a choice young man. And I've never I don't know if I've hardly ever heard anybody preach about Saul very much good. But I'll tell you what, there is a lot good. And he is anointed of the Lord. And not only is he anointed of the Lord, and not only was he chosen of the Lord, but when you read this, God in advance, a day before Saul comes, shows Samuel he's coming. And God in a day in advance tells Samuel, this is a man I've chosen to be the captain over my people, and you're going to anoint him. You're going to anoint him for me. He's my anointed man, and I'm going to pick him. And not only that there, Samuel does that, and this young man, and I'll go into it more, he's worried about wasting time looking for the asses, because he's thinking of his dad like any young man should be. He's thinking of his father, and he's thinking about these asses, and he's leaving off the asses, and he's thinking because he knows his father's going to be worrying about him. But when Samuel meets him, Samuel tells him, don't worry no more about the asses that you're thinking about, or your dad, because you're going to stay here all night. And he spends the night with him. And I'll go one further. Not only does he spend the night with him, but he's a special portion of the feast that's set aside for him. Not just any cutting, but there's a special portion what God's told Samuel to do, cooked and ready for Saul. That's how much God thinks of him. He's given the special portion, he's given the special cut set aside, and they go up and Samuel gives him it and tells him everything he's to do and instructs him. Then when he is leaving him and he tells him the next day, goes into the next day, now it's time to go. And the asses and all is found. Everything's all right. Don't be worrying no more. And then he tells him about the prophets that'll meet him on the way. And how the Spirit of God will fall on Saul. And he will prophesy with the prophets. And that's why in the Bible it says he's numbered with the prophets. Because the Spirit of prophecy come on him. And he prophesied with the prophets. And he tells him about how the backslidden against God, the children of Israel, and how they need to come back to the Lord. Spirit of God does all this. Now that was meant to be last week's message, I'm telling you. But I couldn't help giving you a wee glimpse of it tonight. And the Lord goes, I'll tell you, I was surprised because I've never really looked much at it. I haven't studied much in the book of Samuel till this last week's months what we've been looking at. But there's a lot of stuff in it. I'm telling you, that Old Testament's just something else, isn't it? There's so much stuff in it, praise God. But I want us to look, first of all, this evening, at his personal appearance. And when we look at his personal appearance in verse 2, this is the first thing I want to look at, his personal appearance in verse 2. He's goodly to look at, he's strong, he's big, and he's handsome. Now that's my own words, but the Bible more or less does say all that. He's head and shoulders above any man. That's the man God picked. So we've heard a lot of preaching and we've heard a lot of talk about the Lord taking the wee small fellas. And as people say, and that's true. I'm not saying that in a bad way. That's true. But God's also picked a lot of big men. And it's not all big men and it's not all small men. But God can just pick whoever he wants. He can pick the thin or the fat or the short or the tall. He can pick whoever he wants. And that's just about how he does it. And if you're looking for the tall, he might give you the short. And if you're looking for the short, he might give you the tall. Amen. Just that's how God works it. Because God's going to be doing his own thing. And we need to rejoice in it. Amen. But this man's tall. He's head and shoulders above any other man in Israel. So I don't know what height he is. I'm not going to speculate the 90s. My reckon is at least 7 foot, in my opinion. I'd say he's at least 7 foot, maybe over. But I'm thinking he must be at least 7 foot. If he's head and shoulders above any other man, I don't know what the average height then was. Because the average height can change over the years. But he's tall. He's tall. Now he had what... You know, every young man really, in a sense, covets that, don't they? They want to grow up big and they want to be strong and they want to have a commanding presence and a commanding look And there's nothing wrong with any of that. It's all good. And there's so much of that today. And I see a lot of it today. And you know, young people, some young people that can grip them to the stage where they want to look like some of these movie stars and film stars. And they want to take stuff to enhance themselves. So this here can go in an extreme. You understand what I'm saying? It can go in a real extreme with some people. And it, with women as well, it can go in a real extreme. For they want to look that good, that they go to the cosmetic route. And they do things you should never do because they want to look that good. But yet with all, there is a beauty and there is a strength that God can give. Without any of that there, but God gives it. And I'll tell you, when God gives it, there's something else, isn't it? And, you know, God had richly blessed this young man here. And he had formed him with this height and strength and everything. God made him like this for a reason and for a purpose, because he had a job to do. And he had a particular job to do. So God made him different than the rest. And he was different than the rest, because the Bible clearly says he was. He had the edge over them and height and other things. Praise God. I know over the years we've heard a lot of negative about Saul, but you're going to hear some positive today. Amen. Praise God. And, you know, this gift of God wasn't to be used for self, but it was to be used for God's ends. Amen. Maybe later on different things happen, but I'm not worried about that. I'm sticking with this bit for now. You see, a healthy, well-formed body makes a beautiful temple for the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? And that's why God formed every one of us. God formed every one of us. And we're all made in the image of God. And we're formed and made to be a temple for the Holy Spirit. And we want to give ourselves as presentable to the Lord for his service. And we want to have our bodies that the Holy Spirit wants to dwell in us and move in us. So we have to live in a certain way for the Holy Spirit to do that. And God had made this young man a certain way. And I'm going to show you some features he had, which is lacking in our modern day society. But he had them. And they're simple. Real simple. And this is just maybe like a children's lesson, but it's still true. And, you know, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, then we can become a mighty weapon in the hands of God to pull him down a Satan's stronghold. Here's the second thing I want you to notice. He had a childlike obedience. Now we're looking at the start of this man's life, but he's a young man, a childlike obedience. You can read it in verse 3 and 4. And he went at once at his father's bidding to seek the asses. His dad sent him to go and find them, and he didn't have an argument with his dad to say, well, you can send somebody else, or I don't want to do it. But he went to find them. He went to find them. And I tell you, when our Heavenly Father speaks to us that he's a job for us to do, or the Holy Spirit's moving in us to do something, God doesn't want us to argue with him. God wants us to go for it. He wants us to go where he's leading us. And here Saul was willing to do what his father had. And you know, aren't we living in an age where there's no obedience to parents? Aren't we in that age? There's no obedience to parents in the age we're in. Some lunatic on some app the other day said that the child's nappy shouldn't be changed until they have a word with a child, more or less, first, whether it needs change. Now, parents like that, they're mentally insane. There's mentally something wrong with the adults of a child that comes off with a statement like that. Nothing wrong with a child, but at jail then, there's something wrong there. There's some other spirit working there. That's not normal behavior. Because you know a wee baby is fully dependent on its parents. Fully dependent. And when we first get saved, we're fully dependent on the Lord. It's like what God told William Mullen all them years ago when he got saved at the very start, and he had all these ideas in his head. There's fellas with guns and everything back at his camp, and he's a razor under his coat where he could pull it out and cut your throat. And he's explaining to God, I'll go back, and if they say one word against you, I'll have the razor out. And the Lord says to him, look up, will I? And he looked up and he saw the plane, and it was a trainer plane. And the trainer plane had two sets of controls. It had, you ever in a car before you learn to drive in? And there's two sets of controls. And when the instructor takes the young person out on their first lessons and they're going too hard into a corner, he puts his controls on, switches them off. And God said to Willie Mullen, switch your controls off and I'll take over. I'm the instructor, Willie, not you. And the Lord worked it all out. And here you see, God wants us to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the Lord could lead you to do something very small. So small you could think, I can not bother doing it, sure snuff and tell it. But the Bible says if we are obedient in the small things, then God can trust us to do the big things. And it could be a small thing the Lord's asking somebody in this room tonight. Now you say, oh, but Pastor, you know, so that's right. But you see, I don't want to miss it. God could be talking to somebody in here. And you're putting something off. But the Lord wants you to do it. And we need to be obedient, every one of us, to the Lord. You see, he was not too big to obey his father. And God could ask us to do a small thing. And God doesn't want us to be too big. You look at the ministries over the year, great men God's used. And some of them men held meetings with thousands in it. But they were humble enough to come to a wee house meeting. They were still humble enough to come because God had people there as well that he wanted to talk to. And here, this is a real lesson here I'm taking from this evening. Now, it's a lovely trait in the character of a handsome or a lovely young man. When the disciples strove with the Lord, you know what the disciples said? Who's greatest in the kingdom of God? They strove who would be the greatest. They even argued who'll sit in the right hand. And Jesus got a little child and set it on his knee. And he said, except you come as a little child, this is the greatest. That's the lesson the Lord gave. And he that's going to be greatest of all must be least of all. But there's not much of that today. Sure there's not. Somebody that wants to be big wants to show, here, I'm the big fella here in charge. It's not how it is in our society today as a whole. But humility means a lot, doesn't it? And the Lord set this wee child in the midst, you see, and he said he's the chiefest among us. And Mark 10, verse 44, you can read it if you want. And you know, isn't it great that the Lord loved us and he gave himself for us? And here, this is our lesson of the night. Now here's another one. Respect and thoughtfulness. He had respect and he had thoughtfulness. I never thought I'd be preaching these things about Saul. But then you say, I never bothered to read about it. And that's the way it is with a lot of people in the Bible. And I've learned a lesson in life. You can hear things about a preacher or another Christian from somebody. And they can say bad things about them. Then one day you get to meet them or go and hear some man preach that you've heard stories about. And you realize, but he's not preaching any of the things I heard that are negative. It's not the truth. And I know that in my own self. I've had that experience. So you see, we always should be careful what we say about somebody else until we're sure about it. Isn't that right? Slow to speak, the Bible says, and quick to hear. And I tell you, here's what he says also in verse 5. Come, let us return. You see, he's wanting to return, and I jumped ahead earlier. I told you him other things. We'll eventually get to them as well. But he's concerned what his father's thinking. He knows he's been away a long time, and his dad's worried about him. And he's thinking about him. And sometimes that's how it is, you know, with children today, in general, in society. They've lost that. That's been lost a bit. When you were younger, if you didn't get home in time to the house, your parents, you knew, would be worried. Is that, am I preaching the truth or not? There's no worry about that today. They'd stay out to half the night. They wouldn't care about it. That's the age we're in. That's the way society's been molded, but it's wrong. And it used to be, you make sure you're in the house for a certain time and you didn't go past it. There was a concern. But it was a good thing. It was a good thing. Or they're missing too long. They knew the parents were worried. And he was worrying about his dad, about thinking about me. No more of the asses. I needed not stay too long. Now, we know God had this all in control, but he's thinking this, but it's still good. Still all good. And I believe all these things is lessons for us, you know, from the Word of God. He was not so anxious about the objects of his pursuit to forget the thoughts of his loving Father. Now, let me pause for a moment. You see, we can have desires in our life that we're wanting to do, and we can have an ambition or a road that we're wanting to go down. But if that ambition or that road takes us away from our Father's work, it's wrong. Our ambitions and our desires, when they take us away from the house of God and from the people of God, then they're wrong. And if it's a hobby or a sport or anything, there's nothing wrong with it. But if it takes over the place that God wants for us, it's a wrong thing. It's a wrong desire. But we want to have a desire that pleases God. And we want to be like Saul here in the sense, spiritualizing it, that we want to get back to the Father's house. That we don't want to be away too long. And that means we need to keep short times between our prayers. But we need to be in contact with him often. And the Bible says, pray often, seek the Lord often. And I know I'm spiritualizing this, but that's the way the Lord's leading me to do it. And it's for somebody. And I tell you, it's so true tonight. And we can get away, and we can, a hobby can take us for what relaxes us. And it helps us. But that same hobby that relaxes us and blesses us can eventually take over and control us to where it becomes a work. And it takes us away from God and the things of God. And we have to have a balance in our lives. But that can't happen when we know to say no. That I can't go to whatever it is tonight. That I'm going to go to the house of God, or I'm going to go and seek the Lord. And it's all of these thoughts, you see. I've been away a long time, and I need to get my father to worry. I need to get back to the Father's house. And I wonder if there's a backslider listening in this recording tonight. You've been away long enough. It's time to come back to the Lord. And it's time to seek the Lord. There's many young men who leave home and pursue a business in their new surroundings and forget their father, and they forget the mother and the yearning of the father and the mother's heart, and they never make any contact with home. And I tell you, look, my own son's been away 5 years, but he keeps contact. But even at that, his mother misses him. I miss him. When he comes home, we're so glad to see him. When he comes home for a season, we're glad to see him. Now, I want you to think of that spiritually. Think of the man in the Bible that left his father's house and he ended up with a pig in the pig pen. And he got away from God. He got away from the things of God. But his father didn't hate him. His father loved him more than ever. His father wasn't looking at the wrong things he'd done and the wrong things he'd said. But when God moved him and he made a decision to come home, his father said, kill the fatted calf. Give me the best robe and the best ring. And his brother was jealous because of it. He says, I've been here all the time. You've never done it for me. And his father says, no, but you weren't lost, but he was. But now he's coming home. And when he came, he went out to meet him. And God loves us tonight. In spite of our failures, in spite of our letdowns, God still loves us. And his love never changes. You see, their wise fathers are more concerned about the safety of the sons than the success of a worldly business. Now let me mention this as well this evening. It's good. It's good that our children's educated. That's all good. But some people push children in pursuits that will lead them in the wrong way so much, in worldly pursuits, that if God was calling them, they would never see it or know it. And there's the wee man that comes in these very meetings, his own testimony, wee Laurie. Laurie was put in a certain pursuit to learn a business and a work that he could make a living, which was nothing wrong with. But God started calling them. And when he told his parents, they didn't want no better. Because the pursuits they had planned for him, they thought was more important. And you see, a worldly pursuit's not important in the eyes of God. It's God's pursuits that's important, because the Lord's coming again. And we heard on Sunday, the wheat, the fields are not getting white. They are white. They are ready. The harvest is nigh. And even if we're clean, then let us clean. And you know, when if you have a farming background or so, there's a lot sometimes around the back of the hedges. There's a lot around them back of them hedges. And there's a lot for us still to do for the Lord. And we need to be able to do the Lord's work. So don't let nothing pursue you on the wrong road. Keep on the Lord's path. Here's another thing about it. The generous disposition. He had a generous disposition. You see, the children of the world is wiser than the children of light. There's children in the world, and they put thousands and billions into things that's going to vanish and disappear. But the God's work, what do they put in? I heard of a certain boxer overnight, and you'll know who I'm talking about. He's tall. Suppose he looks a bit like Saul. He lost 140,000 on a bet. 140 million on a bet. Now think of that 140 million, what that could do for God's work. But you see, this is a thing, pursuits that's on the wrong track. And money into the wrong things. And I tell you, when we're going to invest, we need to invest into the kingdom of God. We need to invest into what the Holy Spirit leads us, not some nonsense or some worldly thing. And I'm not talking about what we have to do, I'm talking about for God's work. And I tell you, here's this young man here. He recognized something. And when his servant suggested that they should consult the prophet about the loss of the asses, at once he reminded him, what are we going to give him? Not a present to bring to the man of God, verse 6 and 7 in 1 Samuel. And this, excuse me, shows the kindness of his nature. He had kindness in his nature. He was thinking of God's man. He was thinking of the work of God. And then the fellow with him, he had a wee bit of money. And they used that. I know Samuel wasn't waiting on it. But yet, he gave it, and God blessed him. God blessed him. And I tell you, you can never outgive God. Never. And I tell you, God proved this. And he's proved it so many times. He couldn't think of asking for a favor even from the man of God without offering some gift in some way. Judges 6 verse 18 says this, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come. And isn't it great that we could bless somebody? And I tell you, it's great if God can use you to bless somebody. You'll be blessed. Amen. And look how the world blesses their own. They do. The world blesses their own. They look after their own. And you know, you only have to join certain groups and they'll look after you in business and all. They'll not give it to nobody else. You'll get it. But God's got his people as well. And there's a work to do for God. It is said that the generous natures go mostly readily astray. The very depth and forth of this generous affections, you know, it's sometimes can be a temptation. Some people, God could bless people and it could be a downfall. But then God has blessed many other people in the Bible. And God has had rich men. You see, I don't want us to have an idea that we need to be on the street like begging. Or it's not God. God can bless us. Job was blessed. Look at the wealth of Job and Solomon and the Bible and David. They were men that was mightily blessed to God. God blessed them. But they done work for the Lord, didn't they? You see, sometimes there's a lot of people selfish. But not every man has his own interests that he's thinking of. He's thinking of God's. When I thought of that wee story of a brethren man and a Baptist man, and the Baptist man approached the brethren man, and this is a true, not just a tale. This Baptist man approached the brethren man and he wanted a wee site for his church. And the brethren man said to him, go you down there where you want it in that field and mark it out. And he went down and marked it out, and the brethren man come down and he had one look at it and he said, you see them pegs you put in, get them moved away out. So he now moved them out bigger. And he said, but I can't pay you for that. He says, I never asked you to pay me. I asked you to move the pegs out. He says, with sight that you have marked out, it's not big enough. Where will you park the cars? And he gave it to them. He gave it to them. He didn't take anything off him for the sight. He gave it to him, for it was God's work. Now, we mightn't agree with all the doctrines, but I'll tell you one thing. If any of us had a son or a daughter that went to one of them wee meetings and got saved, we'd rejoice over the Lord about it, wouldn't we? Amen. God's got people everywhere. Got people everywhere. 1 John 2:15 says this, love not the world, neither the things of the world that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father's not even in him. You see, we're not taking anything out with us. There's no point holding on to something that you're not taking with you. You'll never take it with you. You hear, oh, he left this and he never left the thing. God took him from it. He left nothing. He took from it. And it'll go. And all the best we can do, it'll go, won't it? And if we own, you know, millions of pounds a night, and with children, it'll go to them, and then you don't know where it goes after that and all the rest of it. But for God's kingdom, what about God's kingdom? Here's another thing, relationship to God. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold the man. God had him spotted and picked and chosen before he came. Now the thing that's intrigued me, and I don't want to get into it tonight, and I'm almost finished, and maybe next week we'll go more in it, but I'll tell you something, Samuel was a seer. Samuel was a seer. And you know these Old Testament prophets were seers. And they saw the thing. They saw it. And in the 20th century, God again in his mercy sent a prophet that was a seer, William Branham. He was a seer. He could see the thing. Just like Samuel. And Samuel saw it. He saw him coming. And not only did he see him coming, he had all them other instructions. And then he saw the other prophets that were going to meet him. They were prophets as well, but they weren't Samuel. They weren't Samuel. Samuel was special. Now, we've already seen that Samuel was special, haven't we? And he was loaned to the Lord. Don't ever forget that. He was loaned to the Lord. Isn't it great if you're loaned to the Lord? Given to the Lord. Verse 17 says, and when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold the man whom I speak to thee of. This shame shall reign over my people. God has had a conversation with his prophet. Now God didn't directly at that time speak to Saul. God's directly speaking to Samuel. But Samuel's going to speak to Saul on behalf of the Lord. And I'll tell you, he's going to know it's God. Because it's going to all happen. It's going to come to pass. And you know the words of a prophet don't come to pass, don't fear them. But if they do, fear them. And here's another thing about Samuel. Not only did Samuel's words come to pass, we'll go further with it because the Bible gives us liberty to do it. Not one word fell. Not something. Not one word of Samuel fell to the ground, but God brought it all to pass. So all the things Samuel's saying here to Saul, they're all going to happen. And I tell you, the Lord, whatever the Lord's told you, it's going to come to pass. Amen. Whatever he's told you is going to come to pass. Not only was he a choice young man in the sight of men, but he was a choice young man in the sight of God. And I said in the sight of men, his stature was unique. Will you agree with that tonight? He was special even in his stature. Head and shoulders above everybody else. But God had chosen him out special for a work for him. The highest honor any young man can have on this earth is to be chosen of God. You know, that's the highest honor any of us can have, to be chosen of the Lord. And I've good news for you tonight. The Bible says you're chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We're chosen in him. We're chosen in the Lord before the foundation of the world. We're kings and priests unto the Lord. You know, praise God, it is worth sacrificing all the world to find favor with God. That's what I wrote tonight. In my office tonight, I was back in this evening, home a wee bit earlier. It is worth sacrificing all the world to find favor with God. And I believe that with all my heart. In this honor of all the saints of Christ Jesus, a young man may have many lovely features in his character, many rich moral qualities, yet if the link of divine guidance with the Almighty God is not there, then he's like a ship drifting unseemly, unwaverly in the ocean of life I wrote that to Satan in four tonight. You see, if the Lord's not guiding a young man, he can go any road, any direction. But when we've got the Lord in our life, we have a guide. That's leading us and guiding us. Aren't you glad you have the guide tonight that's leading you and guiding you? And your guide tonight is a lovely Jesus of Nazareth. And not only that, he says, I send you a guide. I'm sending you a guide, a comforter, but a guide as well. And he'll lead you and he'll guide you in all truth, the Holy Spirit. Don't we need the Holy Spirit? Don't we want the Holy Spirit? Let's come and pray again this evening, then we're going to have a time of prayer. Seek the Lord tonight, praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight, for the guidance, for the instruction, and for this wonderful guide. How we want to be led to the Father's house, how we want to be obedient to the Father, and we want to be led by the Holy Spirit, because your Bible tells us the sons of God are led by the Holy Ghost. Lord, won't you lead us? Won't you guide us? Won't you direct us? We acknowledge you again tonight on all of our ways, and you have promised us you will guide our paths. We know that every good thing works together for those that love and serve the Lord, and we're serving you and we'll love you tonight with all of our hearts. We're not ashamed of you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we bless you tonight. We ask for your presence to come in this room and touch every person in this room tonight with the lovely presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, have your way in our homes. Bless the wives. Bless the children. Lord, you know the different families, the things they're praying for and praying about, and answer prayer and for the grandchildren. And Lord, just moving them all in Jesus' precious name. And all that's desiring to be saved or being prayed for, save them, Lord. Deliver them. Set them free and help us to be the men and women of God that you want us to be. Bless your people tonight. Each one in this room, strengthen them. Touch those that need your touch and bless those that need your blessing. And if anyone's listening in, may you bless them, strengthen them, and guide them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you this evening. Praise God.